All right, welcome to the Health Ranger Report here on Brighteon.tv. Today, we've got a bombshell guest for you, someone I've been trying to get on for quite some time, Mr. Ed Dowd. And he is a former hedge fund analyst, kind of a finance guru of sorts. And he has dedicated his life now, the last couple of years, to exposing the truth about excess mortality following the vaccines. And he's got some shocking numbers to share with us today. And he's announcing his new book and a couple of websites where you can even download data sets and you can get all the charts and graphs and everything for yourself. So I've got a bunch of questions for Ed Dowd. Because he's so knowledgeable and very courageous and sharing this information with the world, and he's going to lay it out for us. So buckle up. This is going to be a really fascinating interview. So stay with us right here on Brighteon.tv. I'm Mike Adams. We'll be right back with Ed Dowd. Welcome, folks. This is Mike Adams, the founder of Brighteon.com, and today we're joined by a very special guest. You have seen him all over the place, and he is just a super outstanding individual with analysis of excess mortalities and so much more. Mr. Ed Dowd joins us today to talk about what's going on with the world, his new projects, his new book, and so much more. Mr. Dowd, it's an honor to have you on, sir. I'm a big fan of your work. Thank you, and welcome to the show.
Mike, thanks for having me on. I appreciate all the work you've done over the years, and I'm just honored to be on your show and able to communicate this information.
Well, I am honored to have you on. You have done extraordinary things, and I was actually scheduled to interview you once on Infowars.com, and then I had to bail, and you did that interview with Alex, and it was a wonderful interview. So I feel really lucky to get you back on here. So thank you for taking the time.
Now, absolutely.
Let me give out your websites quickly for people. TheyLiedPeopleDied.com. Give us a brief, please, if you would, sir. What are people going to find on that website?
It's just basically a tab that kind of goes through the data that we found in the insurance companies, and it talks about how the CDC data basically said there was a switch from vaccination or from old to young in 21. Meaning COVID killed mostly old, and then in 21, there was a mix shift to younger folks. We link, you know, it's the theory of the case is there. Then the Society of Actuaries came out. So I have Smoking Guns 1, 2, and 3. You can use, we have PDFs you can download and present to people. The book does a better job that's coming out soon.
Okay, yeah, let's talk about that. Cause Unknown, what's the subtitle of that?
The Epidemic of Sudden Death in 21 and 22. It's basically a 210-page book. It takes about 3 hours to read. There's a lot of graphics, a lot of links to articles of athletes dying. So that's, you know, how my journey began. I'm a former stock picker, financial analyst, and we look at pattern recognition. And in, you know, March, April of 21, I was hearing anecdotes of people dying and getting injured, which statistically, if this was safe and effective, I should never hear. That, you know, injuries do occur with vaccines, but you shouldn't hear them, and not in the number I heard. So I knew if I was right, I said to myself, then I'll look at insurance company data and funeral home company data. Sure enough, I did. Then my media fame grew and a team assembled around me, insurance analysts, insurance whistleblowers. I'm now partnered with two PhD physicists in Portugal. We started a hedge fund, but before we're even launching that, we've been doing the Humanity Project, which is all the data from all the all-cause mortality by country, UK, Europe, every country in Europe. We're going to do Germany next, and US will be up this week. But the data is devastating.
So that book, again, Cause Unknown, and folks, the electronic version is available right now, I believe, on Amazon and Barnes & Noble. Is that correct?
Correct. And it'll come out, I think, hard copy December 13th.
Okay. All right. Great. So, folks, you can pre-order the hard copy right now if you want to get that book. I definitely am going to get that book. Is there an audiobook coming out, or is it just too data intensive for an audio format?
No audiobook. It's not conducive to an audiobook.
That makes sense. I don't want to hear somebody reading charts and tables all day. that would not be fun. And then you've also got something called the Humanity Project that people can find at this website, financetechnologies.com, where the word finance is spelled P-H-I instead of F-I. So financetechnologies.com. Could you give us a quick brief on that?
Yeah. So basically, in my journey, I hooked up with some gentlemen in Portugal who are PhD physicists who are, you know, unvaccinated. One of the only few in Portugal was a heavily vaccinated country. So they were they resisted. They had a problem with it. They had the same worldview that we all have, Mike. And so they reached out to me to help with the project. We figured out we could start a hedge fund, but we decided to table that. And they basically have taken the data from, I did the US data, they did the UK data and the European data. And the European data has vaccine uptake. So it's a pretty devastating analysis. Goes country by country. You can look at it by age cohort. You can look at it, but it's interactive. You can do total country population. You can look at it quarterly, weekly, or yearly. So this generates these lovely bar graphs that anybody can understand. And they also came up with a methodology paper on how to calculate excess mortality appropriately, rather than just using averages. They have three different methods that, you know, people could debate about, but all methods give the same answer. So the idea was they wanted to create something that could be put in a peer-reviewed journal. We're not doing that because that's a waste of time, but it's unassailable. And what I think is going to end up happening is this data is going to be used in future court cases and what eventually ends up happening. But the idea is that anybody can use this data. We want to be a force multiplier, and the data is the data. And we try to avoid conclusions, but the conclusions are obvious. I make conclusions in my book, but on the website, we let the observer come to their own conclusions, and there's only one conclusion. The vaccines are killing people.
So let's talk about those data here briefly. Overall, in a very rough, broad stroke kind of answer, what level of excess mortality are we seeing since the vaccines were introduced, or I should say shortly thereafter? And do you anticipate this excess mortality to continue to be reported throughout 2022 when those data are available?
All right, let's just focus in on the U.S. So we discovered in the insurance industry there's something called the group life policies, and it's a very specific subset of the U.S. population. If you work at a large corporation or a mid-sized corporation, you get, when you onboard to a company, you get your healthcare form, you sign that, you pick your plan, then you get a death benefit, usually 1 to 2 extra salary. You sign that, and then you sign who the beneficiary would be. Normally speaking, I've done this many times. I don't know if you've done it, but it's kind of a joke. You're 25, you're 30, you're 50, you're 40. You don't expect to die. You don't expect to collect. And it's a policy that insurance companies make, you know, they make a ton of money off this because the death rates are very predictable, correct? So in this population, which is generally speaking, a study they did, the Society of Actuaries did a study in 2016. They looked at the 4 or 5 years prior, and they found that their group life policy holders, and this is the industry doing the analysis, die at a 30 to 40% rate of the general population. So their mortality is only 30 to 40% that of the general population in any given year. That makes sense. They're healthy, they're young, they're working. To get these policies, you have to be employed. So if you quit, you don't get it. So, or fired. So these people are working healthy, better educated, access to better medicines, better everything. So they don't die at the same rate. Well, in 2021, that group experienced, for all of 2021, 40% excess mortality. 40%. So what does that mean? What does that mean? Well, the general U.S. population in 2021 experienced a 32% excess mortality. What's the difference between those two groups? One group was more than likely mandated to take the jab. The general population had a choice overall, if you're retired or young or, you know, small employer. So this much healthier group definitely died at a much higher rate in 2021. And I'm here to tell you it's continuing in 2022. The Society of Actuaries doesn't publish this data but once a year. And the 2021 data came out in August, which verified the data that I was talking to you and Alex about or on the Alex Jones Show in March. So they verified our data, which is good because, I mean, we were just two guys on the internet talking about CDC numbers. So now we have, you know, the whole society verifying us. I know from an inside whistleblower that the month of August saw 36% excess mortality in the millennial group life policy holders. That's age 25 to 44. 36. So you would expect this to be coming down, Mike, especially since boosters are not really picking up or being taken up with as much verve as they were, and mandates are kind of here and there going by the wayside. So we're suspecting that even if you got a jab a year ago and you seem fine, there's lots of things popping up now. We think there might be delayed causes and adverse effects coming on after, up to a year after.
That is a really worrisome conclusion, but I agree with it, and the other guests I've interviewed also agree with it, that the long tail of this thing is going to be very substantial and very long because of the immune system destruction. At least that's the theory that a lot of us are, latching onto in this. But we're about to approach a winter here. RSV is now taking off in hospitals. Children are presenting with RSV infections that are off the charts. And many people are being told now they should take a combination vaccine that's about to be released, which is RSV plus influenza plus COVID. I guess it's a combo, like triple death threat, or as Kanye says, death con 3 vaccine injection. I mean, I don't mean to laugh. It's crazy. But just from the numbers that you mentioned, if you look at 32% excess mortality in the United States, that comes out to over roughly 2,400 people dying per day.
Yeah.
If that's applied to the population, we're talking about almost a 9/11 scale of atrocities or deaths every day.
This is going to have consequences for the economy and global economy for years to come. And, we've also looked at the disability data, Mike, which is a different database. That's the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics. And what I like about this database, it's not tied to any healthcare institutions. It's a statistical survey that's done every month. So they survey like 46 to 60,000 households, and they impute statistically what's going on in the employment report that we see every month and all sorts of different things. Well, they do disability, and, they basically ask the question, are you disabled and no longer able to work, or is someone in your household disabled and no longer able to work? Well, that number on an absolute basis is running between 29 and 30 million the prior 5 years to COVID. Then mysteriously, it didn't really go up a lot in 2020. It actually went down because lockdowns prevented accidental deaths and all sorts of other things, or accidental injuries, I should say, not deaths. This is disabilities. But mysteriously, in May of 2021, it took off, and it looks like a growth stock chart. It broke out of its trend, and the year-over-year rate of change is a 3-standard deviation event, which, as you know, as a scientist, is a 0.03% chance of it usually happening. So something happened. That's called a trend change. And so the number now, as of September or October, is like 33.2 million. So it's about 3.5 to 4 million people have been disabled since 2021. When you break the numbers down, even when you go a little more granular, and this is on our Humanity Project website, you can break it down between total population, civilian labor force, and then employed. And the employed, which is about 98 million, 100 million in the U.S., experienced an increase in their disability rate of 26%. The general population experienced an increase in their disability rate of 11%. So it was detrimental to your health to be employed in 2021 and 22. If you break it down by sex, 36% or 32% women are saw an increase in their disability rate of 32%, men 19%. So whatever's going on is injuring and more adversely affecting women in at least the disability arena. And that totally foots with what Naomi Wolf found when looking at the Pfizer documents, that their adverse events affected women more. So we see it in the Pfizer documents. Now we see it in the disability data.
If vaccines were not even mentioned or considered in any of this, let's just take vaccines out of this for a minute. You would think that public health authorities and lawmakers and media leaders would be just tripping over themselves to try to ask the question, what's killing so many people? right? Like something has happened here. Is it an alien space ray from, you know, planet Nibiru? No. But something is killing people. We should get to the bottom of this. And don't you find it astonishing, the lack of curiosity about that?
I talk about that in my book. The fact that this is crickets is all you need to know, that there is a cover-up on crime going on. It's prima facie evidence as far as I'm concerned, because let's go back to 2020. Do you remember all the hype around everybody dying, all the deaths reported every day, the cases? And now the deaths and the disabilities and the excess death is way higher than COVID. And nary a peep about it. And now we're normalizing sudden death, and we're normalizing disability. And now we're trying to introduce climate change as the cause, which is the most absurd thing I've ever heard in my life.
Yeah, for sure. It's but they keep coming up with all kinds of excuses, even stress, or why are sports figures dropping dead on soccer fields? Well, because they're scared by the whistles of the referees and things like that.
You can't make it. I heard one. My favorite one was last winter. They said that cold weather causes blood clotting and the phenomenon known as winter vagina. First of all, I asked my female friends on the island if they knew what that was. They'd never heard of it. And then I thought about blood clotting and cold weather, and I thought the Vikings sure did a really good job of terrorizing their southern neighbors with all those blood clots. So it's amazing that the Vikings were able to, you know, withstand blood clotting and take over, you know, southern Europe.
So let me direct a question to you personally, and then we'll continue on this. But as I understand it, you could have sat back and done nothing in all of this, because you were very successful in the financial arena, which, by the way, I think has honed a lot of your numerical analysis skills that you're applying to this particular problem. But as I understand it, you're financially well off enough that you don't need to do this. You certainly don't need probably all the hate and censorship and everything else that has come along with this. But why, Ed, if I may just call you by your first name here, why did you decide to take this on? You could have done nothing and sat back and stayed silent.
Well, you know, I come from Wall Street, and I know how the system works. And the system was going to collapse at some point. We've all, those of us that have been doing this for a long time, we're worried about a great sovereign debt bubble, okay? And we knew it was going to implode at some point. We're trying to figure out what would they do to, like, place the blame elsewhere. We all thought war, you know, terrorism, something. So when COVID hit, I like everyone else, got, you know, scared for about a 3-week period. But then I quickly realized COVID was a ploy to bring in a control system to help manage the sovereign debt collapse. And then when the vaccine came out and the mandates, I said, I'm not living in this world. I suffered from a depression in 2011-12, and I've done a yeoman's job of getting myself back to health. I don't believe in any pharmaceuticals, drugs, or anything. Believe in spirituality, fasting, and diet, and exercise. And so I would be damned if I was going to be forced to take any of this stuff. So that was just my clarion call. And I'm just not going to live in a world where I'm forced to take something. So I just wasn't going to have it. And so I got very vocal on Twitter. And then I prayed to God to be of service. And then Dr. Malone came to the island. I hooked up with him. And then from there, I'm kind of on a journey, and God's bringing people in my life to help me. And the work you see is not just Ed Dowd; it's a whole host of people.
Right. But you see, I'm hearing that kind of journey from so many people across the board, people that I interview and speak with privately, where you have been in some way, you know, you've been recruited, let's say, perhaps by God, or perhaps by others in the industry, but you have been placed in this position where your unique talents and skills, observations, and your willingness to just not take BS has now been applied to what I suspect is going to be the biggest genocide in human history. And in fact, I think we're already there, but the data will eventually prove this out for sure. But you are in the center of this, and frankly, Ed, the clarity of the numbers that you present to people has provided so many other capable people with what we might call the ammunition that they need to try to convince or awaken others to what's going on here. So you are playing a crucial role, probably beyond your direct contacts with others across this space.
Yeah, I appreciate that. But it's, you know, it's just, I'm doing it because it needs to be done. And I like the brave, you know, the brave doctors began all this when they, you know, stuck their necks out and started raising their hand. And there's so many other individuals and, you know, people like yourself that give platforms to people like me. We're all doing this together. And it's that I view this as a battle for the marginal mind. And so the book and my work, while it's pretty definitive and the case is closed, 90% of the globe has no idea that Ed Dowd exists or that Mike Adams exists. And so we need to get this data out. And the data is the data. The crime has been committed. And now the job is to spread this information the best way we can. And the book is an attempt to open someone's mind. And they don't have to believe me, but at some point they're going to have to, because money capital is going to start going to work on this as well. And, you know, our hedge fund is going to raise capital to make bets on the new reality that has occurred. The reality is that the globe has been devastated by this, and it's going to be devastated for decades to come.
Now, okay, this brings up a whole series of questions about your upcoming hedge fund, but you mentioned that you were concerned about the sovereign debt collapse even before 2019, and that collapse is still yet to come, and war may be, in fact, the thing that's going to bring that about. And you probably haven't had a chance to look at this because it just broke, but there were some apparent Russian missiles, at least this is the claim, that hit Poland, and the U.S. Department of Defense has issued an emergency alert that Russia is attacking Poland, which Russia denies, and that NATO is going to probably invoke Article 5 defense. So that scenario now, as of today, begins to look even more plausible as another way for them to try to, you know, print more stimulus money, declare more emergencies, try to pump up the system a little bit longer. Now, I apologize for springing that on you. You probably haven't had time to, you know, to analyze all that news yet. But in broad strokes, what are your thoughts about the potential for war?
Well, if you have a global sovereign debt default that's been caused by central bankers and politicians, and you're in the power seat, you need distractions to point to the collapse of the system that isn't your fault, but it is your fault. So, you know, COVID was one, excuse one, climate change is excuse two, and war is excuse three. And I suspect it's going to be all three utilized to divert and cause the most amount of fear as possible in the general population, which once fear gets set into someone's mind, it disables their critical thinking skills and they'll do whatever they're told. And that's a tried and true tactic that's been used since the Babylonian mystery schools, how to control large populations, create boogeyman fear. If I was them, this is what I would do if I was them.
Yeah. Well, Reuters just came out with a piece in the last 24 hours, basically relaunching Paul Ehrlich's concern about overpopulation now that the world has officially passed 8 billion in terms of total population. Reuters is saying that because we have 8 billion people, it's going to make, quote, climate justice really difficult to achieve. Now, nobody knows what they mean by climate justice. It's just more bizarre, you know, gobbledygook code words for whatever kind of agenda they want to push. But when Reuters says there are too many people on this planet, you know that their agenda is really spreading and they're serious about reducing population.
Well, you know, I try to stay away from speculating on whether COVID was a tool or a good excuse to use.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm Mike Adams, the founder of Brighttown.com. And remember, I built this platform so we can have discussions like this without censorship. But you are free to repost this interview on other platforms and other channels. Thank you for watching today. And God bless you all. Take care.
All right.